familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Have you ever wondered why breast milk is so special? Can breast milk be used for any other reason other than feeding the baby, like maybe fighting infections? Today, we're exploring the components of breast milk and the topical benefits. This is The Boob Group.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're The Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. The Boob Group is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for all things related to breastfeeding. I'm your host, Leilani Wild. I'm also an IBCLC and owner of Leilani's Lactation and Doula Services. Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoy listening to our shows week after week, please tell another breastfeeding mama about us. You can also help other mamas discover us through iTunes by leaving us some honest feedback about the show. Search The Boob Group in iTunes and click on our podcast to rate us and leave a comment. Want to be part of The Boob Group? Here's Sunny to tell you how.
Yes, so we would love our listeners to be part of The Boob Group. So there's a couple different ways you can do this. You can submit for our segments. And we've got a couple different segments that we're always looking for listener responses for. And I'll just share a couple of those with you now. So we have a segment called Ask the Experts, where you guys can ask our IBCLCs your breastfeeding and pumping questions. We have a segment called Boob Oops, where you guys can share your funny breastfeeding and pumping mishaps. And let's see, another one. Oh, we're always looking for story ideas, and we'll be planning out our episode shortly for 2016. So if you guys want to submit for any of those, or if you guys want to send us ideas for topics for the future, we would love to hear from you. So you can go to our website at newmommymedia.com, go to the contact link section, and that way you can send us an email. But if you're sharing a story and you're like, hey, you know, I'd really like to share it myself as opposed to me or Leilani reading the story on your behalf, you can just call our voicemail at 619-866-4775 and share your story there. No one's going to pick up the phone, so you just leave a message and we'll go ahead and take that and we'll put it in a future episode.
So let's meet the moms that are here with us today. Crystal, can you tell us about yourself?
My name is Crystal Allen. I am 29. I'm a stay-at-home mom to 5 kids, 4 girls, and 1 boy. They are 6, 5, 3, 17 months, and 6 weeks.
No wonder you can't keep them straight. I don't think I'd be able to keep that straight either.
And Anna, can you tell us about yourself?
Sure. Again, my name is Anna. I'm a local San Diegan. I'm 35 years old and just had my second child. My first is 22 months old, so almost 2 years old. And my youngest is 5.5 weeks.
Great.
Breastfeeding both of them.
Amazing. Wonderful.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com. All right, so before we start today's episode, we're going to talk about a headline that I saw and related to breastfeeding, related to stress. We recently released an episode about breastfeeding and stress. So the headline here is stress hormone cortisol found in mother's milk could affect social behavior of children after weaning. Okay, so you've heard of cortisol, again, the stress hormone, and they're saying that basically it can impact the social behavior of children long after they're weaned. And this is based on research carried out by the U.S. National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. And they tested the effects of cortisol levels of 26 female monkeys. Reyes monkeys? I don't know. I don't know my monkey population or species very well. Of these infant monkeys, and scientists found that the babies suckled on milk containing higher levels of cortisol appeared to be less impulsive at the age of 6 months. And I love how they tested this. They said the baby monkeys were tempted with marshmallows by the scientists to test their impulsivity. So I guess if you can resist the marshmallows, you pass the test.
I don't think I could do that.
Right?
I love marshmallows.
So I know. I mean, I don't want us to get all bent out of shape about this because moms have enough stuff to worry about besides, you know, how our children are going to be impacted after weaning just because we have some high stress levels or whatever. But just kind of wanted to get your guys' opinions. I know it sounds a little funny, but this is a legit, you know, research that was carried out, and they're, you know, trying to find out about stress. So Leilani, what are your initial thoughts?
You know, I think that initially you want to think about how stress is in your life. And regardless, stress is not good for any of us, right? So hopefully what we can take from this is that we need to learn to relax as much as possible, enjoy the moment, and worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes.
Yeah. Michelle, any thoughts based on this article?
Well, I wonder if the lowered cortisol, if you have a more relaxed parent, and we all know that breastfeeding is a relaxing act sometimes, you know, you have those good hormones releasing. So maybe a more relaxed parent leads to a more relaxed child.
My kids are actually pretty relaxed. Breastfeeding was always a soothing thing for me. I mean, I had a couple issues here and there, but for the vast majority of, you know, breastfeeding on my children, it was a pretty relaxed experience for me. And I have a lot of people tell me that not only are my children usually more relaxed, unless, you know, I just gave them a bunch of Halloween candy or something like that, but that I'm also a more relaxed parent. And I don't know if that has something to do with it, or maybe that's just a personality trait, but that's kind of what I thought from this. I'm like, well, maybe there's, you know, I mean, I have stress in my life. We all have stress, you know, in our life, but maybe there's something to it. Yeah, so we'll put the link to this article up on our website. Actually, on Facebook, we'll do that because Facebook's a little bit better for discussion purposes. And you guys can check it out for yourself. See what you think about monkeys eating marshmallows.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today on The Boob Group, we're learning all about what's inside breast milk and how it can be used topically to help your entire family. Our expert is Michelle Stolberger, an IBCLC in the DC metro area. Thank you for joining us, Michelle.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Michelle, how many different animal species make milk specifically for their young?
So all mammals produce milk for their young. And something that I find really fascinating is that the mammary glands were so important to species classification that literally the entire group is named that. So mammals, they're named after the mammary glands. They're named after their ability to make milk. So even mammals that lay eggs will produce milk.
What makes human milk, breast milk, so unique?
Well, human milk is really unique because it's designed specifically for human babies. And I know that sounds like a really easy answer, but if you think about it, humans are the only species that drinks the milk from another species. So you don't see baby calves drinking goat's milk, and you don't see baby goats drinking cow's milk. So it's really fascinating that humans are the only ones that do that. But our milk is designed specifically for human babies. And more specifically, the composition of human milk is just very, very different from that of other animals. The ratios of protein and carbohydrates. And also, our milk contains antibodies that strengthen our immune system. So when you're exposed to viruses or other bacteria, it causes your body to produce specific antibodies for that. These antibodies are not found in animal milk.
Well, and that's super important to know for a lot of moms out there, because I know in some situations, you know, we do have to use another mammal's milk, right? Mm-hmm. And in that case, you know, we have to think about how is it different from, let's say, cow's milk, because that's usually where we're getting our other sources when we feed our babies. How different is it, our breast milk, compared to them?
That's a really great question. So one of the things is that our milk is much lower in protein and it's higher in carbohydrates. And when you think about it, that can kind of explain why babies sometimes nurse so frequently. We talk a lot about how breast milk is digested so quickly, and our protein content is much lower. These animals are designed to be a little more self-sufficient at an early age. So when a baby cow is born, you know, there's not quite as much coddling. That baby cow is born and up on its feet and ready to go, and they don't feed quite as often. And, you know, having the lower protein means that we need to feed a little bit more frequently. The proteins in other animal milk are also not as digestible as breast milk proteins.
Yeah, you know, I was aware of how unique our breast milk is. From my understanding, and I think I take this to heart, is that when the baby latches onto the breast, there's a communication that happens. And a communication, kind of the baby telling the body what it needs, and the breast milk is going through constant changes to provide the baby what they need. And that's an incredible thing to me, and which I know cannot be done by any other source, definitely not cow's milk. So I think that uniqueness makes it incredible for the health of our babies.
And you're right. Michelle, can you explain a little bit more about what Anna is saying in regards to that?
Anna, that's great. That actually touches on exactly what I was thinking, that breast milk changes not only as the baby grows, but from feeding to feeding and even during a feeding. You know, as most people know, the first milk that the baby gets is colostrum, which is much thicker, and it's really designed to coat the stomach, act as a laxative. It has millions of white blood cells and antibodies. It's really the perfect first food because baby stomachs are just super tiny, much smaller than we even think of. And even in the beginning, the ratio of whey to casein, which is kind of the components of the breast milk, there's more whey, which is present in the early days. It's much easier to digest for the baby. So, you know, like Anna said, our bodies are communicating with the baby. We are making it exactly what they need when they need it. The mature milk that you would have, you know, once you're past those early days, that actually changes composition, like I said, from feeding to feeding. For example, when you are breastfeeding, towards the end, you have a higher fat content, which is sort of like the dessert milk. It's you start off with the lower fat milk, and then you kind of get to the full fat milk, helps the baby feel full, and kind of signals the end of that feeding. So breast milk absolutely is just a constantly changing thing. The composition of breast milk between women would never be the same. And even during time of day with the same woman, it would never be the same.
You know, I often will tell my clients about the how the breast milk constantly changes and it's different. So in the beginning of a feed, it's kind of like low fat. So I always say it's like vegetables, eating your vegetables. And then the middle of the feed, it's like eating your steak and potatoes. And then at the end of the feed, it's like eating dessert. And so you get a full course meal and like, you know, other types of milk. So, you know, the longer that they can stay on the full feed that they get, then they get a full balanced meal. Michelle, I know you just answered how the breast milk changes from feed to feed, but how does it change as the baby grows?
Really, it doesn't change as much as you might think. The volume stays pretty steady. And what would really be changing as the baby grows is just sort of in response to, I think, environmental factors. So the types of antibodies that are present are going to change. You know, is there a cold going around? You know, are people, what sort of germs is the baby being exposed to? I mentioned a little earlier that the whey and casein ratio will change. So you'll get a higher casein ratio later on. It's a little bit more robust. The protein content goes up a little bit. But once that mature milk comes in, it's really kind of a feeding to feeding change and not a huge overall change.
Okay, great. Well, when we come back, we will talk about the topical benefits of breast milk and how we can treat infections with it. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. We are here with Michelle, an IBCLC from DC metro area. Michelle, how is it that breast milk can topically cure things like diaper rash or eczema?
That's a great question. We often say that breast milk has healing properties. And what that means is that the antibodies present in the milk are things like enzymes, immunoglobulins, and leukocytes. So it's sometimes called white blood. The breast milk isn't just a cooling or soothing feeling. It's literally providing the healing needed.
Anna, have you ever used breast milk to cure a diaper rash?
Not for diaper rash. No, I have used it for other topical things, but not for diaper rash.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Crystal?
I have many times. My son, who's now 5, had we used cloth diapers, and he had an allergic reaction to a certain fabric that we were using, and so he developed this like really awful rash, and we were kind of grasping at straws and didn't really know what to do, and so I figured it couldn't hurt anything, and it was literally the only thing that helped was mixing coconut oil with breast milk and then putting it in the fridge so it turned into a solid, and then we would just put that on him every diaper change, and it was the only thing. I mean, we tried prescription creams, we tried every topical cream over the counter that they make, and we tried powders, everything. It was the only thing that cleared it up, and it was within hours. It was amazing.
I've actually seen that, and you just mentioned earlier today, before you even got on the show, that you actually made a concoction for somebody else, right?
Yes. I had a friend calling me earlier that was in tears because her baby had a rash so bad, and so I was like, oh, I'll just pump a little bit and put some with coconut oil, and I mixed some tea tree oil too, which is good for, you know, yeast, because she thought it was yeast infection, but put that and gave it to her, and she just texted me literally 10 minutes ago saying that it was already clearing up. So
So I have a question with regards to that. So one of my twins right now, I'm still breastfeeding my twins, and they are almost 2. They'll be 2 next month, and one of them keeps getting this horrible diaper rash, and it's ongoing, and once it clears up, it comes back, and we've just been doing this song and dance for at least 3 months now, and so I haven't really done anything, because it keeps going away, I really haven't, you know, called the pediatrician or done anything like that, but since I'm still breastfeeding them, are they getting the same benefits, you know, through just the oral consumption of breast milk as they would if I topically did something as well?
It is different when you put it on topically, right, Michelle?
Absolutely. Just think about like putting Neosporin on a wound. You're applying that breast milk directly to the wound, and you're letting the, you know, antibodies inside the breast milk get onto that wound.
Ah, so maybe I need to do a little mixy-mixy tonight.
I love this concoction with the coconut oil and tea tree. That's fantastic. Tea tree oil is definitely an antifungal, so I bet that feels great.
Yeah, it works really well. And like if we tried just putting breast milk just by itself, but it would just turn into a mess. And so I kind of thought like, oh, we should mix it with something but coconut oil because it's
helps solidify it. Yeah,
it solidifies it. So it really, really works well.
Well, how do you know how much breast milk to put in versus other ingredients? Like, do we have any idea on from other parents like me? Because I got to go home and do this now. I'm going to be like, this is my first question. Now, how much breast milk? Michelle, any thoughts on that?
You know, I'm not sure because I've never mixed it like that, but I would think that whatever amount would get it to that good pasty consistency. Has that been your experience mixing it with the coconut oil?
Yeah, I actually do an ounce and then I mix it in a little tub. So yeah. I don't know exact amounts, but it's probably like 3 to 1.
Okay. Well, that helps.
So three parts breast milk.
Yeah.
No, 3 parts coconut oil.
3 parts coconut.
Ah,
yeah.
Because if you put too much of the...
It's too runny.
Yeah, it won't solidify as much.
Well, one thing about coconut oil that you probably know is that the minute it gets warm, it liquefies.
Yeah. So I mix it while it's liquid and then I put it in the fridge to solidify it. Mm-hmm. And then I just use that.
But then when you go to put it on topically, it starts to melt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So, the other part of that is even if it did liquefy, you could just kind of pour it on.
Right.
I'm actually treating my granddaughter that way.
Yeah.
And it does. It really works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Michelle, what other infections can breast milk help cure?
Oh, lots of things. I'm thinking specifically things like pink eye and even cracked nipples. We have a lot of moms that we recommend. We tell them hand express a little bit of milk onto your nipples after a feeding. And it absolutely helps with the healing. A lot of times when I was working in the hospital, we would tell moms on day 1 and day 2, you know, just get a little colostrum on there. The other major thing that breast milk is literally a medication, babies in the NICU. So premature infants in, you know, neonatal intensive care. There has been study after study that shows that breast milk is literally life-saving, because it protects these newborns from something called NEC, and that's necrotizing enterocolitis. So a lot of NICU babies will get donor milk or, you know, that sort of thing because the doctors have seen it just is life-saving. You can see this effect kind of in communities with malnutrition as well. So communities where a lot of children might die of like gastrointestinal diseases, basically diarrhea. Breast milk is just absolutely incredible in that case.
And why is that? How does that work? Can you explain that a little bit?
You know, I wish I could explain it better, and I need to go back to look at the studies, but I think it has to do with the fact that it has all the antibodies in it. Little premature babies are really at high risk for getting, you know, all sorts of infections, and breast milk has that protective quality to begin with. When you have something like formula, you know, artificial milk, you just, as we mentioned earlier in the show, there's no antibodies in that. There's no protective qualities to it. It's simply nutrition. And that's why breast milk is so important, because it's not just about the nutritive needs. It's not the protein and the carbohydrates. It's literally the antibodies that you're passing along. I think that plays a huge role.
Yeah, and also to add to that, I mean, to help these moms understand, if you can provide your own breast milk, it is designed specifically for your baby. So your body knows your baby's premature. And so your body's making specific milk for that baby. So that actually helps coat and line the stomach for the baby. And
exactly.
I believe that's why it works so much better to protect the baby from any illnesses, even in the NICU all the way through its breastfeeding life and beyond, right?
Yes. Although interestingly, if you have a premature baby, you only make premature milk, I want to say it's for 4 weeks, is no matter how early the baby is. I'd have to go look at the specific citation, but your body does switch over. And the babies in the NICU, you know, donor milk works as well for things like, you know, with NEC, with the colitis, assisting with that. So breast milk really is, I mean, it's just an amazing, it's literally seen as a medication in that case.
It does, definitely. So Anna, have you experienced using breast milk for any topical reasons with your babies?
You know, I've used it on my older daughter, I believe it just on cuts, believe it or not. You know, she's just south of two. She falls a lot. And recently she had a pretty big gash that she had on her leg. And I, you know, it was healing just fine, but I decided to add some breast milk to it. And it seemed like it healed so much faster once I added a little bit of topical breast milk. I haven't necessarily read any studies that say that, you know, it healed for those particular reasons, but I do believe in the powers of breast milk, and so I've used it for that.
How about you, Crystal? Any other things besides diaper rash?
I have used it on cuts and stuff, scrapes from my other kids. I've also used it, I've pumped and given it to my 5-year-old who had a really bad stomach ache, and I gave him a cup of it and he drank it and he actually said it made him feel better. I don't know if it actually had any real thing to it, but I mean, I was grasping at straws trying to figure something out because we ended up finding out he had an issue with his gallbladder, but it helped his stomach ache that one time.
Michelle, have you heard them use it for like cleaning their nose and stuff like that for nasal instead of using nasal sprays?
Oh, I haven't, but I have a really stuffy 10-month-old, so I may have to try that.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I have had some clients use that, and they seem to...
I just use it.
You did?
I totally forgot about that, yeah. I've been using it. She's a little sick. My kids are all sick right now, and she's stuffy, and so before each feeding, I put some in her nose, and then she usually sneezes, and then I wipe it away.
Perfect. That's great. Let's see. Michelle, can breast milk be used for other family members? I mean, maybe outside of your children?
So that's a really great cultural question, in my opinion, because, of course, it would work from a strictly structural point of view. It would work exactly the same as it does with an infant. And I bet other cultures wouldn't hesitate to squirt a little breast milk on pink eye. But I just don't know. In the United States, I think we might be more, likely to rely on antibiotics. But I'd be curious to hear what our panelists think about using it for other family members. I mean, I don't know if my husband would appreciate a squirt of breast milk in his eye, but maybe.
Would you guys consider, do you think that your parents or grandparents or anyone that might consider taking your breast milk and using it for something?
My mom actually has for pink eye. She's really against using any kind of antibiotics. And I kind of was taken aback when she asked me. But she asked me to pump a little and give her some. This was a few years ago. And she said it worked really well.
Awesome.
I was pretty surprised. But yeah, I mean, just like my friend called me today. I'm like, I think I'm pretty known for this. My friends and family must think I'm crazy. But
the breast milk healer.
They call me, yeah. I think it's just because I've been breastfeeding or pregnant for 10 years. But my mom used it and she said it healed her within a day or so.
That's
so
way faster than the medication that they give.
I've used it on all my kids for pink eye. So
good.
Before I've even gone to the doctor for it. So.
Breast milk's wonderful. What about you, Anna? Would you consider using that for other family members?
I have used it. My husband's used it, believe it or not. So he, and it was quite a hilarious scene as he was shaving, cut himself, and he was saying how it was bothering him because it was a pretty noticeable cut, and so let me apply some breast milk, and he looked at me like, no, you're not going to apply breast milk on my on my cut, and I finally teased him into it, and it healed so fast. He was like, okay, make sure you put some aside for me, because
wonderful.
He really believes in it. My mother actually right now, I'm glad you mentioned this, has shingles, and luckily in a very small area on her hand, but I'm wondering if that might be a good option for her to help her. You never know.
Well, Crystal was just saying, yep.
I had shingles 2 years ago. It was on my leg. And once again, I tried putting breast milk on the rash and it made it feel so much better. It literally felt like a 500-pound man was stepping on my toes and lighting it on fire, and it totally just toned it down a lot, way better than any medicine they threw at me. So
that's awesome. So your is it your mom? Is that what you said? Or your mother-in-law?
My mother, yes. My mom.
So she's going to be thrilled to hear about this. So you've got the medicine for her. That's awesome.
No kidding. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much, Michelle and Crystal and Anna, for sharing this important information about breast milk components. Boob Group Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of this show, as Michelle will talk about why she is so passionate about breast milk. And for more information about our Boob Group Club, please visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
So here's a question for one of our experts. This is from Elizabeth Kiefner. I have a wonderful new baby boy. He is almost too good and already sleeps 4 to 5 hour stretches at night, and he's only 5 weeks old. While it's wonderful that I can actually get some extra sleep, I'm worried about how this will affect my milk supply. I try to pump once a night, but I rarely get more than 1 or 2 ounces, even though I am starting to feel engorged. So far, everything seems to be fine, and he is gaining weight and growing like a champ. Also, he has a habit of nibbling. Our daytime nursing sessions only last a few minutes, and they might be as close as together as every 20 minutes. This has been happening since he was born. If the breast isn't fully drained, will that also affect my supply? Right now, I try to let him nurse several times on one side before switching. Then he is nursing for such short periods of time. I'd really appreciate your help. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. My name is Andrea Blanco, and I'm an international board-certified lactation consultant out of South Florida. Thank you so much for your question. Congratulations on your baby's birth. You sound absolutely in love. If you find your baby is going a longer stretch at night, then he will have to find a way to make up for it at other times during the day, which is probably what's going on. Being able to pump 1 to 2 ounces in between that stretch is not cause for concern alone, as there are many factors that go into pumping and determining whether it's a good gauge for how much milk you're making in general. However, feeding every 20 minutes for short bursts may be his way of overcompensating for something else that might be going on, like something hindering his ability to transfer milk effectively. My first suggestion would be to spend a couple of days tracking his feeding patterns and diaper output so that you're able to see what is going on. If he's feeding more than 8 to 12 times a day and anything else about his behavior is worrying you, I feel like the best course of action would be to see an experienced international board-certified lactation consultant to help determine what is going on and whether it's just a variation of normal. Mamas like you are very good about knowing when something is off, and I encourage you to listen to yourself on this.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to The Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, Newbies for Newly Postpartum Moms During Baby's First Year, Parent Savers for Moms and Dads with Infants and Toddlers, and Twin Talks for Parents of Multiples. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, your judgment-free breastfeeding resource.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health, or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com. Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.